Welcome to the Soldiers of the Immaculate Podcast. This is episode 11 being recorded on Saturday, April 6th, 2024.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Remember, O most compassionate Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgins, our Mother. To thee we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. Mother of the Word incarnate, despise our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer them. Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Pio,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Well, it is Saturday in Easter week, and that means that your travels for Lenten missions are probably done for the time being. It's been a little while since we've done a regular episode, and I just realized in looking back at the blog that I forgot to post a blog post for the third installment of the Lenten Mission, the Sermon on Hell. So if you subscribed with a podcast app, you would have seen that and possibly already listened to it. If you only look at the blog and were waiting for it to post there, my apologies. I just realized I never posted that, but I can post that later if you want. But Lenten missions are over. You had successful travels, Father?
Yeah, I would say now's a good time to meditate on heaven, if anything, for the promises our Lord makes to us. I hope everyone had a fruitful Lent and a beautiful Easter. And today I'd like to wrap up on from Father Cochan's book on the Credible Catholic Mass, the benefits of going to daily Mass. And or just going to Mass in general, it's really powerful. And so I'm going to pick up with number 66. And so number 66, you need not fear a long and terrible purgatory if you are ready to a great extent atone for your sins by frequently assisting at Holy Mass. And I don't know about you, my friends, but I don't want to be doing a long time in purgatory. And I always tell people, aim higher, we should never insult our Lord by just settling for purgatory, because that's a lack of love for him, a lack of understanding of what he's done for us and what he offers up and the graces. But that is really powerful, that you don't have to fear a long and terrible purgatory if you're atoning for your Mass by frequently assisting at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I can't recommend it enough. Every day.
I know it's an imperfect analogy, but when there are certain times in life, typically when you're having an accident, and frequently when you're incurring some sort of intense pain, like breaking a limb, it seems like time slows down to a crawl, and what is just 2 or 3 seconds feels like it's 4 or 5 hours. From what I've read of the stories of the souls of purgatory, it's like that, except taken to 11 and then some. That 4 or 5 seconds in purgatory feels like years.
Yeah, they tell that one story in the book Purgatory by Shoup, and it's powerful. That I always tell it to the two priests. They promised each other whoever dies first will offer the sacrifice of the Mass right away as soon as they find out. And so one priest died. The other priest at the offertory, he was offering the Mass, and the priest appeared to him, and he scolded him. He goes, "You promised me you would offer Mass right away." He goes, "Your body's not even cold. What are you talking about? I just found out you passed, and I offered the sacrifice right away." And that's where he said, "I feel like I've been here 45 years. And it's so a lot of people I think people don't think it's possible to go straight to heaven, many people, but it is, St. Maximilian Kolbe, I think, says it's easier to be virtuous than not. And once, because God created us to be with him for eternity, and to sin is not what we're created for, but you really have to strive for this. And many people I've come across in life where when they're suffering a lot, one of the first questions I put towards them is, are you praying to do your purgatory on earth? They said, "Yeah, how do you know that?" It's because you're suffering tremendously. And the other thing is, I don't think we realize the effects of our sin and how wicked they are. Even venial sins. Very few people have this fear of venial sins. And it's really bad if you're committing deliberate venial sins. And once again, St. Teresa of Avila warns that eventually the devil setting you up to fall into a grave mortal sin, but you won't repent right away. So let us pray that we have this deep hatred for all sins, but let us get serious. And if you're not getting serious in our times, which we're going to talk about after I finished these 77 benefits, I don't know what's going to get you serious. When you look around us, the whole world is literally falling apart, and we got to get serious.
Well, and like you said, there are 77 benefits in the Mass here, but number 66, shortening your time in purgatory, that alone should be enough. I mean, you've mentioned so many others that are by themselves, could be meditations for weeks at a time, but sometimes the motivation of the stick is more powerful than the carrot. And
it's a get out of jail card, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So the next one too is number 67, one Mass devoutly heard will do more to mitigate the pains of purgatory than any act of penance, no, however difficult of performance. And this is once again so powerful, because when we're doing these acts of penance, you know, our motives are mixed, this and that. But when you're going to the Mass and you're in union with the priest and you're offering Jesus Christ through the priest, offering to God the Father in atonement for our sins, that's why it's such a big difference. And that's why it mitigates the pains that we'll have to do. So if you're going to Mass every day, this should encourage you. Never stop. Because no matter how much penance you know, you can't do nothing compared to just one Mass, you know, attending it with your whole heart, your whole soul. And number 68, one Mass in your lifetime will be of greater service to you than many said for you after your death. And this is so, so important, this one, because so many people, I recommend in your will have Masses said for you after you leave Masses, leave money for these Masses, especially Gregorian Mass will be 30 Masses in a row for your soul. After you die, because you know even your own family will forget you pretty quick, the saints tell you, and so you want to make sure you have that covered. But Mass is much more value for you when you are alive. So how many people have Masses request a Mass for themselves? How many? Very, very few people. When they come, it's always for their loved ones, it's for friends, it's for many other petitions. But I really recommend having Masses, even one a month at least, for yourself. So, because it's, why is it of more value? Because once you're dead, your eternity is sealed. That's it. The judgment takes place, the particular judgment. It's irrevocable. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're lost, you're lost. If you're, so it's heaven or hell ultimately. But is of more value when you're alive because of all the graces that you will get to help save your soul. And so as long as we're breathing, we could lose our soul. As long as we're still on this earth, we can sin and offend God. And that's why the more graces that we receive, and that's what we need, graces to get to heaven, the better off we're going to be. And in the Mass, it's just a flood of graces as we've been going over for the last how many weeks. So really, have Masses said for yourself, for your life, in your loved ones. Your loved ones, especially if they're away from the church, they're living wicked lives, the Mass will offer for the intention of their conversion or bringing back to Holy Mother Church will benefit them tremendously, tremendously.
Well, to jump ahead and insert a question that somebody may be thinking as they listen to this, Father, do you have the ability to take Mass intentions? And if not you, where do I find somebody to take Mass intentions?
Well, yeah, I do at times, but I get bogged down, and you can only take so many Masses. You can't have more than a year's worth of Masses, but I try, and I get so many emergency calls. People call me for all kinds of things. loved ones trying to commit suicide, tragedies. And so, but I do, but I, you know, it's hard. You just got to find a good, you want to, and it does make a difference where you have the mass offered too. I would say definitely I recommend doing the Trinity Mass for sure, because there's much more graces that flow from the Trinity Mass than from a Novus Ordo Mass. And that could be proven. We could go over that in another day too, another talk. So, but yeah, look around and just have them done the more, and remember for yourself too. But remember I said too about it's, these masses are more value for you in your life. And I always think of the great Saint Philip Neri. And he used, every morning when he woke up, he always would say, "Dear Jesus, keep an eye on Philip, because he may betray you today. He may betray you." And so that this is why it's so important.
And a question for the listeners, if you know of some place that you can check online where there's, for lack of a better terms, like a dispatch for priests who have mass intentions available.
No, I don't personally know.
If that exists, let me know, max@soti.org, or blog, I mean, max@soti.blog. And if it doesn't exist, maybe I'll write it.
Well, it'd be nice. And I would say if you're going to put a list together, you better vet the priest who's going to be on the list too, you know?
I know. There's a lot of potential problems that go along with that. But I think the graces that could come from it, I might warrant any of the overhead and vetting and any of the other headaches that come along with it.
Definitely. And I know, like right now, I get requests a lot for Gregorian masses. See, the problem with that too is the priest, once he starts it, you can never miss one. So if you do 29 days in a row and you miss the last day, you have to start all over again. The good thing, though, is a priest gets sick or something happens where he's in the middle or anywhere where he can have another priest step in for one or two, however many is needed to fulfill the 30 days, and that counts.
I've had to arrange for a few Gregorian masses over the last several years, and some of the places where we've had it done were the they used to be called the Transalpine Redemptorist. I'm sorry. I know that's not their name anymore. It's the Brothers of the Sacred Redeemer in the Orkney
Islands. I don't know their new name, but I think they're in, are they in Montana? I think,
no. I'm talking about the ones in the Orkney Islands in north of Scotland.
Yeah, but they do have a monastery in the States now too.
I think they're working on it, but the point that I'm getting at, there's also the Benedictine Monastery in Oklahoma. There's the Carmelites in Wyoming. The point is that it's groups. And so it, like you were saying, if one priest, for some reason, in the middle of it can't continue for one reason or another, another priest can step in. In these groups, they can do that. It's a little more iffy if you have a single priest lined up. Even if he says, "Yeah, the next 30 days are yours, I have nothing going on," he gets in a car accident, that could be a problem. So
yes,
having the redundancy of a group is pretty nice in that regard.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe it could be put together. So we go now to number 69, that you will attain a high place in heaven, which will be yours for all eternity. And this is really beautiful, because every act you perform in the act of sanctifying grace, you get merit for. You know, the only time you don't get merit is if you're in mortal sin, but if you're in sanctifying grace, you get merit. And when you go to the Holy Sacrifice in the Mass, and you get tons of merit for this, and to the degree you participate properly, when I say participate, I mean, you know, reading the prayers in the missal, uniting yourself with the priest as an oblation, a sacrifice to God, not playing the guitar and all that nonsense, and have to get up there and do the readings like they do in the Novus Ordo. But the more devout you are, the more merit you get. And then every time you receive the host at Mass and you're in sanctifying grace, of course, the merit is, you'll know you won't know till you get to heaven. But the bottom line is, why too is it so great? Because that in heaven the reward goes on for eternity. And that's why, you know, I always tell the story, and I could tell it a million times, St. Alphonse with the nun that she suffered tremendously, and then she died. And right after her death, she appeared to one of the other nuns in the convent, and she told her that she was in great glory in heaven, and that the saints want for nothing because you're totally content in heaven. It's impossible not to be. But she said, if we could desire anything in heaven, it would be to come back and suffer. And she said she'd be willing to come back and suffer all the pains that she went through, and even 10 times worse, 100 times worse, just for the extra merit you get in heaven for saying one Hail Mary with devotion. And why? Once again, because that one Hail Mary said with devotion, the reward goes on and on and on for eternity. So don't underestimate the generosity of God, you know. Number 70, your felicity in heaven will moreover be increased by every mass you hear on earth. 71, no prayers offered for your friends will be as efficacious as a single mass heard and offered on their behalf. So all the prayers of the saints and angels compared to just one mass offered for on their behalf. So once again, your loved ones, people that you know that are especially away from the church, that are struggling, even people that are faithful, we all need graces to get to heaven. One mass is more efficacious than all the prayers that you could do on your own or even the saints.
So there's a phrase that's pretty popular right now when something bad happens, that I'm sending my thoughts and prayers. Something infinitely more powerful is to have a mass said.
Yes, it's beautiful. And that's where we go, number 72. He says, you can amply recompense all your benefactors by hearing mass for their intentions. So another way, so when you go to mass, you could offer the mass up for the intentions of a benefactor, someone who's been kind to you or prays for you or helps you out in any way. They're going to get a great reward for that. 73, the best help, the greatest consolation you can afford the afflicted, the sick, and the dying is to hear mass for them. So, and once again, hear mass, to participate in the holy sacrifice in the mass. So join mass when the priest lifts up the host, when he lifts up the chalice. You could say, I place myself, my benefactors, my loved ones, all in your chalice. I cover us with your precious blood and just, you know, pour out your graces on us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us the graces to be great saints. That's how we have to pray, especially at the mass. So remember, I'll repeat that. The best help, the greatest consolation you can afford the afflicted, the sick, and the dying is to hear mass for them. Number 74, by this same means, you can even obtain for sinners the grace of conversion. Probably the best way to obtain from them the grace of conversion is participating in the holy sacrifice of the mass.
So this number 74, talking about how it's efficacious for the conversion of sinners, it could be also efficacious for somebody who is open to, shall we say, being more Christian but isn't a Catholic yet. And I know that there are several people going through an awakening right now. It's something that those who recognized all the evils that were going on during COVID have woken up to a certain extent and recognize that there is an element of absolute truth that has been attempted to be suppressed. And some of these people have gone from atheism to Christianity with a small c. And if you can talk to these people and say, may I offer prayers on your behalf? I believe that's called prayers of agency. It is when you offer those prayers, it's equivalent to them praying for themselves. And if you could have masses said for them, that's even more powerful. And talking about the graces of conversion, it's like with the combining prayers of agency with having masses said for somebody, that's like them asking to have masses said for themselves as well. Just double up and make that, you know, 33 times more powerful and have those graces of conversion pour down upon them.
This definitely reminds me of the gospel, of course, when when our Lord performs miracles, he would always, every time he said, you are healed because of you believed, your faith. And you remember the paralytic, when he was that, there were so many people in the house, they couldn't get him in. So they climbed up on the roof and they got him up on the roof and they cut a hole in the roof and they lowered him down on a pallet to Jesus. And Jesus healed him, he said, because of his friends' faith. All his friends that went way out of their way to bring this man to Jesus because they knew Jesus could heal him. And the same thing with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because that's, remember, the graces for salvation are primarily distributed at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And that's, so it's a great means.
And if you're trying to pray for somebody for the grace of conversion, literally ask them, may I pray for you on your behalf? And if they, yeah, if they grant you that power, it's called prayers of agency. It's like they're praying you, when you pray for them, it's like they're praying themselves. Mm-hmm. Have masses said in their name. It's very, very powerful.
Many mothers relate to St. Monica because she had to pray 17 years for St. Augustine to convert, but it was worth it. Right? We ended up getting one of the greatest doctors, if not the greatest doctor of the church, because of that St. Monica's prayer. She never gave up, and I'm sure she offered those masses for him many, many, many times, you know? Then we go to number 75. You can also earn for all faithful Christians saving and salutary graces. So, you know, somebody's struggling, whatever, they need graces. You know, say they're struggling with alcoholism or some graces for temperance. You pray for that when you go to the Mass, for those souls, whatever they're suffering, whatever they need. And then number 76, for the suffering souls in purgatory, you can procure abundant refreshment. And we know from the lives of the saints, like, you know, I always pray to St. Pio, is one of my favorite saints. And, you know, the souls used to come to him all the time. And I found it amazing that he would get petrified sometimes when they would come for him. And what did they want from him? They always want, sometimes they say, I need you to offer a mass for me so I can be released from purgatory. And it's happened a lot throughout the history of the church with the saints and mystics, that people would come from purgatory, refresh for that one mass or two mass, whatever it may be, so that they could be released. And then we come to the final one. And if it's not within your power to have Mass said for your departed friends, you can, by devout assistance at the Holy Sacrifice, release them from the tormenting flames. Once again, the soul. So we end there. And, you know, he's just skimming the surface, all of us. None of us will truly know until we get across into eternity all the values of the Holy Mass. But I hopefully that you get this book, The Incredible Catholic Mass. And I think the other book, there's so many books I recommend too. I think we put down already The Hidden Treasure by St. Leonard of Port Maurice on the Mass. Dr. Gier, G-H-I-R, that's probably one of the best books you could ever read on the Mass. And the more you know about the Mass, the more you'll want to be participating, the more you'll go out and the more devoutly you'll want to participate in it too. And it's the highest form of worship we can give God, and it's what the way God wants to be worshiped. You know, sorry my friends, Vatican II was filled with heresies when they tell that human beings have a right to choose their religion. That's just outright heresy, you know. So
with regard to the books that you mentioned, they're all going to be in the show notes. I will go back through the last several episodes as well and just make a compendium of the different books that we've mentioned and put those in the show notes for this episode. So if you haven't looked at that before, go ahead and look at the show notes for this one, and I'll have the links for the books in this one.
Yeah, so I'm sure many people, you see such a panic lately, what's going on. I'm in Long Island at my sister's house, and I was sitting in her living room. What was it, yesterday or the day before? I forgot even already. We had an earthquake. It was a 4.8 on the Richter scale. I'm sitting and I heard a little thing and I didn't know if she had a washing machine on maybe, but then it was very clear it wasn't the washing machine because the walls were just shaking. I mean, it was pretty heavy. And, you know, you're just sitting there first. I don't know about other people, but at first it's like total shock, you know, it's like, we don't realize, you know, the power of nature. And I don't know if you felt the way you were, Max, did you?
No, I'm a long way away from New Jersey, so I did not feel that.
Yeah, but they felt it all along the East Coast. I mean, I know people talking. And then there was two after ones, you know, as a consequence. But, you know, I think God is literally trying to shake us up, wake us up. And there is a lot of people talking about this, and, you know, this eclipse is coming. That we talked about this a little. I mean, to me, it's black and white that I'm not saying something bad's going to happen, but it is, to me, definitely God is trying to warn us, you know, when, you know, it's going to happen.
Well, he definitely sends us signs and signals in the heavens and on the earth when something's about to happen. And I will have to send you a link, Father, of a blog post that talks about the eclipse coming up. And if you think it's worth putting in the show notes, I'll go ahead and do it. But I apologize in advance if that wasn't, if Father disapproved of it. But it's very interesting. It's not astrology. It's very much astronomy and looking at the current state of the world and the signs and the stars in the heavens.
I mean, not only that, it's the Feast of Annunciation was transferred because of, you know, Lent. And now it's going to be, you know, on the Feast of Annunciation that it happens. It's 40 days from there is Pentecost. It's going to pass the town Jonah, like I said the last time. And then after Jonah, seven cities called Nineveh. I mean, what? It's pretty obvious. God's saying, wake up. Now, I just read an article today, too, that there's warnings that there can be an EMT attack. And if that happens, I mean, you're talking total chaos because the whole grid goes down, you know, with EMT. That's probably more your field.
Yeah, EMP is electromagnetic pulse.
EMP, that's it. I'm sorry.
Electromagnetic pulse, and yeah, that would take out, depending on how powerful it is, it takes out any kind of electronic circuits. So all of the transformers on the power poles get blown at that point, right down to the circuits in your watch, if it's electronic and it's not fully mechanical.
And your cars, because all the cars are made of computer chips now.
Yeah, if you have a Tesla, it probably bursts into flames, but then again, they do that anyway. But there was a research done, I want to say 2007, 2008, that if electrical grid was taken down in the U.S. as a whole, and this wasn't necessarily an EMP thing, and this is congressional research that was commissioned. But if the electrical grid went down as a whole in the United States for a year, we would have upwards of 85% population death.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody knows how to live without electricity anymore. And it would descend into complete chaos within 3 days. So I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, watch out.
Yeah, we got to pray. And I'll tell you this, I'm driving in New York here. And if people don't know New York, there's from Queens to all the way out to Montauk, you take the LIE, that's a Long Island Expressway. And it's usually, there's three lanes and then there's an express lane on the east side. So there's eight lanes. And normally it's so crowded, it's like a parking lot, you know, you just go bumping along the whole ride. But they have numerous signs everywhere saying, do not drive on April 8th. Please use mass transit. And so these clowns in our government, you can never trust them. I'm sorry. And they're up to no good. And who knows why they don't want people driving their cars, join a eclipse. I don't got me. But all I'm saying is, We better start paying attention to what's going on more around us, because most people are oblivious and most people, you know, our Lord says he comes as a thief in the night. In other words, when you least expect it, the thief comes in your back door because you don't expect him to, you're not waiting there for him because you don't know when he's going to strike, and that's it. It's going to happen. You know, and another saying is, as in the days of Noah, they went around, they mocked Noah. You know, a lot of people don't know it took Noah approximately 100 years to build the ark. Imagine kids coming around, probably drawing rocks at him, telling him, you're crazy, old man. There's no water. What are you building this gigantic monstrosity for? And you know, he probably warned the people. They laughed at him and they mocked him. And then when the flood came, it was our Lord closed the door to the ark because it was so heavy he couldn't do it. And that was it. And it was too late. And it came quick. And I'm telling you, we all better be ready at any moment, even if it doesn't happen, even if nothing happens during the eclipse and whatever. But if God takes you tonight, if he takes me tonight, are we ready? Are we in a state of sanctifying grace? That's what I always talk about. And then, you know, I came across this article today, which didn't shock me because I've been preaching this since right before COVID. I warned people about this COVID. I warned people that it was a biological chemical weapon. I warned people that people like Bill Gates and the globalists were saying their goal is to eliminate 90% of the population. There's approximately over 7 billion people. They want to get it down to 500 million people. And these people are real sick. I believe they're all Satanists. But this is real. And they didn't hide what they were going to do. And I was telling people, I mean, I get letters, people thanking me for warning them during COVID. I was telling them, I was reading from documents themselves from Pfizer saying 70% of women say who take it will be sterilized. I was reading all these things directly that the people that get the vaccine will transmit COVID. I mean, you can't write this stuff, but most people are brainwashed. They just like sheep, you know, like going to the slaughter. And then what they were doing too during COVID in the hospitals was a disgrace. I was warning people. I was calling out the doctors because they were using a protocol of murdering these people, using drugs that they know, remdesivir would shut your kidneys down, this, that, and you're putting you on the ventilator when you know your lungs are blown out already. It's obviously these doctors know that this was not working, but the drugs that did work. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes from this. It's called The People's Voice, and you can look it up. April 6th on 2024. The headline said, top virologist warns massive tsunami of mRNA vaccinated deaths on the horizon. That's pretty catching topic. You know, he said, and now I'm going to give a couple of quotes. He says, if there was ever a virologist, we should listen to Dr. Bosch, whose CV includes roles as a senior officer in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and senior program manager for Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. Now, he is a whistleblower, but he was working directly from that devil, Bill Gates. Okay, he goes on. He says this. Now, this is a quote from him. Now, the thing I want your audience to understand, what we will be facing in the hyper-acute COVID crisis that is imminent is that we will have to build a completely new world. I'm sorry, my friend. This is devastating. And this is when I was preaching this right before COVID, I told people, I believe this could be part of the Fatima message where a lady warned us, if Russia is not consecrated by a certain time by the Pope in union with all the bishops, Russia will spread her arrows throughout the whole world. Whole nations will be annihilated. Whole nations. But in the end, Russia will be consecrated. Russia will be converted. It'll be a reign of peace. But this is where whole nations, remember Our Lady of Akita said, 3/4 of the world will be destroyed from fire above. But I think if this is true, because these people that got the vax, most of them are not going to make it. They had maybe 5 years, and this is where we're getting, you know, we're coming to this point. That's why I think this man is saying this is going to be a tsunami of deaths, you know, and it's to me, this is devastating, and that we will have to build a completely new world. It's I don't know about it, Max. It's mind-boggling.
My mind immediately, because I'm weird in this respect, my mind immediately goes to all of the nuclear reactor sites and realizing if we have a proportional die-off of, I'm just going to assume everybody working at a nuclear reactor probably got the jab. I'm not going to call it a vaccine. But if they die off, who the heck is going to replace them? That isn't exactly unskilled labor. And if you handle those wrong, I mean, Fukushima was a good example of what goes wrong, what happens when those goes wrong. And there are a lot of reactors around. And that's just one tiny aspect. It's a material aspect, not even the spiritual aspect. Because I imagine a lot of priests, especially the non-traditional priests, took the jab because they took the message of the bishop in white in Rome saying it's an act of mercy and charity to get the jab.
Yeah. No, this is, I went over that. I agree. You know, sometimes it comes out vaccination, but it's not. Like I said, they even the government, they called it an experimental injection. That's exactly what it was. Some insurance companies, I'm sorry, your husband and wife died, but they chose to take an experimental injection. Some of them weren't even covering the deaths, you know. So it's a biological chemical weapon. That's why I'm saying I really believe the whole nations are about to be annihilated here. And it goes in another quote here. It says, in recent weeks, we have had brave testimonies from Dr. Peter McCall, who revealed that the majority of COVID patients who died in hospitals were murdered by medical staff who received massive financial incentives to implement lethal procedures. And that's just why, and that's what happened. I mean, it was a disgrace what goes on. Doctors that are supposed to save lives were just taking lives. And I'm telling you to prepare again, because I want people, the hospital is the last place you want to go, because you're not going to make it out alive. Some very few people did. And so be careful, because they weren't letting priests in. And if this thing starts kicking in where they had, listen, these guys had help from Satan, in my opinion, of course. They don't know, but they're not that smart. But the way they know within a 5-year period. So if you took that shot, my friends, and how many people taking boosters, 2, 3? I met people taking 4 boosters already. I said, you're just putting the nails in your own coffin, but you better wake up, you know, and hopefully maybe you just got one, maybe you got a placebo, because some of them were placebos. But I advise you, you know, I'm not the medical man, but there's a lot of naturopaths out there that have been working to try to help people that have taken the shot, how to get these metals out of their body. You know, there's many ways they're coming up with. So start looking to it. But this is what's coming our way. There's another quote from Dr. Mike Yeadon, and the former Pfizer executive, all right, he confirmed that COVID mRNA vaccines operate as a bio weapon with the goal of depopulating the earth. I mean, these guys are giants. These ain't small guys. And then there's a lead-in oncologist, Dr. William Marcus, revealed that rare and aggressive forms of cancer are exploding around the world. And it is.
You just had to look at the news headlines to see people who suddenly died because of cancer. I mean, died suddenly is a hashtag that I assume everybody listening has probably heard of, but died suddenly from cancer. You were fine. You had a clear bill of health. You aren't feeling well. You go into your doctor and you have stage 4 cancer out of nowhere. This is something that has only happened since 2020. And in terms of, you know, all of the stuff we're talking about here with COVID, if you've listened to all the episodes of this podcast, you probably have heard of Nurse Claire. She has blogged a lot about this as well, and she's talked about this as well. So we can probably leave a link to some of the stuff she's talked about.
Yeah, definitely.
She knows a lot about this as well.
And this is what, you know, and that's why it's good to hear from some of these men who participate in this nonsense. They woke up, I guess. you know, it was amazing me because sometimes I just figure they're all evil, but they're not all evil. Maybe, or they woke up, maybe they had a conversion, but these guys are whistleblowers. These guys are some of the top in the world. And this is a big warning that, and let me tell you something, it's going to be a terrible thing. As a lady Akita said, that the living will envy the dead. The living will envy the dead. So, my friends, my whole point here is get real. Open up your eyes. And I know nobody likes to think about negatives. Oh, Father, you're always negative. I want you to get to heaven. But there's going to be a lot of people that will despair, because if you don't have God, you have nothing. As St. Bonaventure says, you could have everything in the world. If you don't have God, you have nothing. But if you have Jesus and you have nothing in the world, you have everything because you have God. And so really start applying these things I've been talking about, you know, every week, you know, how to live the spiritual life from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, and to live a virtuous life, to frequent the sacraments while you could, and be ready.
Oh, and preparing or having the sense of being negative is not necessarily a bad thing. I was in the Navy for 5 years and we drill constantly. And it was always for the worst case scenarios. The whole ship catches on fire, or the torpedo bay catches on fire, or we're under a chemical attack. We always practice for the worst case scenario. Does that make us negativists or pessimists? No, it means that if you prepare for the worst case scenario, that when it happens, you know what to do immediately. So if you know spiritually or temporally what the worst case scenarios are, and you know how to react to them, that doesn't make you a pessimist for knowing about it, thinking about it, preparing for it. It just means you're kind of a realist, especially when Our Lady has said, fire is going to fall from the sky, at Akita, she said, in the same sense that water falls from the sky and destroyed the world. So, and I used to think for the longest time that that was a man-made thing, that nuclear weapons, but I'm beginning to think that isn't the case at all. It's going to be supernatural.
Yeah, you know, from the sky, meteorites, whatever. I just saw an article. They were going over. I saw a couple of it was documented too. This person was in bed. They heard this big, like almost a bomb go off, and they rolled over, and it was a chunk from a meteorite right in their bed. Another lady was wounded and really bad because it hit, when she was in bed, it came through her window, hit her, and actually hit her body. And so these things are real. And I'm just saying, and that's the point I want to make. Our Lady of Fatima, Fatima's message is devastating. But our Lord keeps sending his mother. And she's like she's here to wake us up. She's been warning us. La Salette, Fatima, Lourdes, Our Lady of Akita, Our Lady of Good Success, and wake up, and because she wants us to save our souls. And as you live, you die, you know. So start getting serious. Start really praying your rosary more, preparing for whatever's coming our way, you know, and that, you know, that God could even use you to help others. Because when the great numbers around you start dying, people don't realize the psychological effect alone that it's going to have on you and myself and everyone else who's alive, you know. It's going to be bad. They say the hospitals are going to be just totally overwhelmed. And like I said, I don't trust hospitals as it is, especially after what happened during COVID. So get on your knees, my friends. Start going to the Mass as often as possible. Start receiving a Eucharist as often as possible. Doing spiritual communions, praying that whole rosary every day. Get serious. Now's the time to double down on your prayers. Not when it happens. Now. So, and we'll pray for each other, and God will not be mocked, and it's scary what's going on in the Vatican. You know, when you got Pope Francis coming out with an autobiography, and in that autobiography, he says that the church's position on homosexuality has been wrong all these years. What blasphemy, what heresy to say something like that. I mean, but that's all he speaks from his mouth, you know. And so we see the total collapse. We see this, as the church goes, society goes, it's really has fallen apart. And is such division. And, you know, God gives us the leaders we deserve. That's what the saints tell us, St. John Eudes.
And talking about things coming up in the next week, well, Monday, I imagine this will probably publish Sunday. Hopefully nothing totally calamitous happens on Monday. But in addition to the eclipse, there's also a communique coming from Rome, or a plan to come from Rome. I forgot what it was now. I just remember that in the channel that we were discussing this on Signal, somebody said, oh, they're going to publish this when something else that is top of the news is happening. It's the whole don't look over here, look over there thing.
Well, there is a document coming out from that heretic Fernandez on the human dignity. So you know what they're going to be promoting in there, the unnatural vices, probably. And that's for sure. And then, you know, in October, they're getting ready. They're really pushing the woman deacon nonsense. And nothing will shock me, whatever they do, because God's going to destroy Rome. And it's in the prophecies and tons of prophecies from great saints about it. And it's not going to be pretty.
Well, isn't the prophecy that the flag of communism will be flying over Rome? And at the moment,
there's Blessed Ayala, she was a holy nun from Calabria there, and Padre Pio approved her and all, and she's blessed. And she says Russia will march on Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe, and right to Rome,
Okay, so I was going to say, was it definitely Russia or was it communism? Because...
Well, she said her prophecy is Russia.
Okay.
We'll march on Europe, invade Europe.
And, because I know China has massive influence in Italy right now. In fact, if you buy Italian-made leather, it's probably made by Chinese people in sweatshops in Italy. But also at the same time, with regard to Russia, suddenly they are motivated to maybe go on the offensive because our U.S. Defense Secretary just said that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. And that is a red line that Russia is not going to allow. So it seems like everybody is suicidal at this moment, to be honest.
We see so many bad things going on, and you see Israel at war with Hamas, but there's genocide going on both sides. You can't condone that nonsense.
I say this in a sense because I'm a computer guy. I saw a news headline this last week that Israel is using AI, which is just, there's no such thing as artificial intelligence. It's not sentient. It's just a computer program made by fallible humans. But they're using AI to generate bombing hit lists in Gaza. And so this now raises the possibility of, oh, it was just an AI. It was a glitch in the system. It wasn't really supposed to be crimes against humanity. Sorry it happened, but it was just a coding error.
Yeah, like I said, I'm no fan of... terrorists on any form of any form, Hamas, whatever, but you know, nobody can condone killing children, women, residential areas. I mean, these are supposed to, you know, there's supposed to be rules for war, you know, and but this is so bad. And then even all the so-called conservatives are all defending this nonsense too. And so how much is God gonna, how much more can we push them? And like I said, this and the gay stuff and the tranny stuff is the worst. God has destroyed whole cities for it. And now it's infected. Not the whole world, right into the Vatican. It's everywhere, the poison. So he's got it. Only he can clean it up now. So, but I tell you one thing, when I was sitting there in the living room and the sofa was shaking, the walls were shaking, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm not from California. So they laughed. They said, oh, 4.8 is nothing. That's every day. Well, it's not pleasant, my friends. And you know what? it would have made me feel very, very small. Like, you're like not, you're like an ant, you know, you got no control over it. You can't say stop now. You know, when that earth opens up and swallows us up, and let's face it, there's fault lines over this whole country. And then they had a picture of the Statue of Liberty being struck right after the earthquake over there, I think it was. But they say the Statue of Liberty gets struck out something like 600 times a month or something. And it should just disintegrate that thing. It doesn't stand for anything good, that's for sure.
Well, but anyway, it's copper and it reaches pretty high into the sky. That's a pretty easy target for electron or for lightning. But in terms of seismic activity, and talking about the eclipse, so the eclipse in 2017, and the one that's going to happen on Monday, the X marks the spot, is right over the New Madrid Fault. And seismologists have said if a significant earthquake really happened on the New Madrid Fault, that would destroy most of the eastern U.S. And that would be pretty catastrophic. It'd probably be on the range of an EMP, to be honest.
Yeah, well, they said to somebody was saying that in Manhattan, for instance, that if that was just a little higher, a lot of those buildings were not made, built like in California for earthquakes. A lot of them would have probably just came down. So it's not good, my friends. It's not good. And like I said, the whole society's falling apart. Our government is not a legitimate form of government. We got these devils. And if anybody thinks that Biden is running this country, you're on better drugs than he is. That's all I'm going to say. You know, it's disgraceful what's going on now. We have all these illegals coming in. Tons of communists from China are coming in now. These are adult men, military age. They're giving them guns. They're giving them, some of them are getting $9,000 or you know, a week or a month, $9,000 a month, I think it is. It's ridiculous. They're giving them guns. Now they're applying these squatter laws that they're telling them they could come and squat, and they just in New York, they just locked up a bunch of them in the Bronx, and these guys were severe criminals with terrorists, and they let them go. No bail, no bail, nothing. They locked them. They had guns in these people's house. Like, police came, got them out, and the courts just released them. So this is what we call anarchy. And this is what they want. This is what the devil wants. Satan wants a breakdown, a total breakdown. And that's what happens when you turn your back on God. So you got to be ready, all you men out there, to protect your families, to defend your families. And it's not going to be pretty.
That's putting it mildly, to be honest. And with regard to everyone coming across the borders, I don't know where this is going, to be honest. I can see both sides of the idea of military age males being a fifth column. I could also see them being economic refugees, which destroys the lower tiers of society.
It's all part of it. It's all of it together. I think both of those for sure. Because, you know, Rules for Radical or Communist Manifesto, you have to destroy the economy to get a country to be fully communist. And that's what they're doing. All these things, start racial wars, start, they're doing it all, everything. The banks, let's face it, you know, in Australia now, it's almost 100% digital, the banks now, which means put out a talk like this, they cut all your funds off, you know? So
I'm sure that's going to happen here sooner than later.
Yeah. But so with that, all I can say, we really, our Lady is our only hope, my friends. We have to get that rosary going more than anything. Once again, it's time to wake up. And if you don't, you will be woken up. It's coming. Like I said, when I'm sitting there and these walls are shaking and the whole house is shaking, you know, you realize we're in trouble. So we'll end with a prayer. Any closing thoughts? Any for you, Max?
Just if you have any thoughts or comments or questions, the email address is podcast at SOTI.BLOG.
And they'll be coming a P.O. box soon for anybody that wants to write in. So we'll say, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. We give you thanks, oh my God, for all your blessings, for you live and reign forever. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pax et benedictio Dei omnipotente, Patris, Filius, Spiritus Sancti, descendus super vos, amen et semper. Amen.